Welcome back to the podcast. You know, today I have my, you know, you're my favorite topic, guys. You know, we talk about business development, how to really help the entrepreneur focus forward. We've got the great coach and business leader and extraordinaire Whitney Hahn on. You're going to get to hear some amazing practices and techniques for really focusing and sharpening your practice and the gift of growing your business. Whitney, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Anthony. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, when we work on entrepreneurs and, you know, the gift that they are to our society, you know, to really bring ideas into light, you know, your practice of you know, really guiding them and helping them focus on not just the busy work that they do. You know, a lot of people confuse movement with activity. So let's start right there.
Yeah, that is a huge, huge myth. I don't think we do entrepreneurs any service when we say, just hustle more and your business will improve. That is not the answer. Just throw your body into it more, exhaust yourself more, deplete yourself more, and you'll solve your problems. And that's just not the case for many, many people. In fact, it works in quite the opposite. When you don't have anything to give, there's nothing you can give. You can't pour from an empty jug. And so I really bristle at the term work-life balance, as if it implies you have a work portion of your life and a life portion of your life. I don't know about you, Anthony, but as far as I know, I have one life. It's all embedded, you know, it's all combined together. And so the idea of balance, I choose this or this, has not worked for me. I choose instead to think about work-life integration.
That's right. I've never been able to see how my life and my work life, my family life, it's all one being, right? And how I do one is how I do all of them. And, you know, it becomes, you know, there's times when business really gets real busy and I have lots and lots of busy. I'm really, you know, working diligently on that. I may have, you know, a period of time where it's a peak performance or a growth period of the company or businesses that I run. And then there's times when, same thing with my family, there's some big times that happen there, but, you know, they're constantly this kind of gel, you know, almost like a soup, right, that I'm always making. And sometimes I need a little more carrots, a little bit more salt. And I'm always kind of working on the system itself.
That's a great analogy. I think entrepreneurs, small business owners of any sort, we can sometimes get so focused on core economic drivers of our business that we forget about and give a backseat to what I call the meconomic drivers of our lives.
I'd love Meconomics. Audience, you guys are going to love this. Meconomics is, when we did this in pre-show, I thought this is one of those ones that you'll take with you forever. So guys, really, really take this and pay attention, because Meconomics is a fun, the way you've broken this down, it's worthy of a great conversation.
Well, thank you. The Meconomics of your life really speaks to the things that you will flip a table to make happen. I really get upset when I see an entrepreneur and anybody, business leader, business employee, put their own health, their family safety, the time with relationships that matter to them, put them all infinitely on the back burner to work more, to be a work person more than a whole person. That has not worked for me. And if you'll permit me, I'll tell you when that whole concept really started.
Yeah, let's get in.
My first business was started in 2004, the year before YouTube.com was registered as a domain name, and it was a video production business. My wife and I started it. We ran it together. And about 12 or so years into the business, I started to feel some of the burnout. Well, it really started before that, but that's when it started to peak. We changed offices 3 times as the business grew. We built a staff up to about 8 people for this video marketing company. We moved to an office that allowed us to have a studio. We bought faster computers and more resolution cameras and all the things, the visible economic drivers that others told us would make us successful. But in the process, I was feeling the burnout. I felt like I was the captain of a pirate ship. And all my pirates were happy as long as the wind was warm and the rum was flowing and the women were relatively pretty. But as soon as none of that happened, what are they doing? They're reaching for their knives and they're looking for the next port so they can jump ship and go to the next company. That's their right. I don't hold anything against them. And in fact, I took a certain amount of personal pride in feeling like I had equipped them for whatever the next stage of their professional career might bring. But I, as the pirate captain, was stuck on the ship that I'd built. And that really started to rub me wrong. So about a dozen or so years into the business, I'm starting to feel this. In 2018, two important things happened, Anthony. My wife is diagnosed with progressive multiple sclerosis. And later that same year, my sister, after having beaten breast cancer twice, is diagnosed with an aggressive form of lymphoma. Now, there are a few things like people that you love having serious diagnoses that focus you more than that.
Yeah.
And so this churning unrest that I had started to feel came to a sharp point. And I said, this has got to change. And so way later, maybe I'm a little slow on the uptake when it comes to business people, but way later in my business than perhaps could have been ideal, but we're just going to believe in the infinite perfection of timing, right? Universe is conspiring on my behalf. I'm just going to believe that. That's right. Late in my entrepreneurial journey, I said, I really have to think about process. I really have to think about optimizing this business so that it can run without me, so that I can spend time on things and people that matter to me more than creating this next video for client X would be.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. Right. I mean, making sure that you've got, I mean, time, life goes quick, right? To it miss does. Those opportunities with your wife and your sister and those times really does wear on us. I mean, and when you, that part you talked about before, about having those pirates that jump ship on you. I mean, the work that you did on those pirates, and I've had that in, you know, in all the business I've run, that feeling of, man, I've elevated that person. Now they jumped. And all of a sudden I'm left going, you know, I'm proud that they're successful, but underlying, there's a little bit of a resentment, right? You hold a little bit like, man, that's exhausting to keep training these people.
And to be clear, Anthony, my resentment didn't come from the fact that they gained some skills and then took those skills elsewhere. Mine was from the realization that I had gained skills, but I couldn't go elsewhere. Right. They could give 2 weeks notice and be on to the next thing. But as the owner of the business, I couldn't do the same thing. And I thought, well, why is that? Why do they get to change their minds, move their career path, move perhaps where they work from, or their style of work, or any number of things, but I can't. And so I was feeling trapped by the business that I had built. And that is where the resentment came from. I was not happy with me. And so that's when I had to focus on my me-conomics instead of just focusing on the economics of entrepreneurship.
I mean, in other words, are you talking about, you know, kind of sunken dead deal or sunken cost? You're afraid to leave the business because you've got already investment in it. I'm stuck and trapped because I've done all this work, and leaving it is the issue. I want to go someplace else, but I've already invested so much time and energy, not just realizing that that's sunken cost. Move on. Or talk a little bit more about that. Like, how does that play out?
Great question. And certainly sunken cost was a huge part of it. I had sunk cost in the equipment. I had sunk cost in the space that we moved into and the studio that we built. I had sunk cost into the thing that I was known for in my community. If I change my business model and the identity, am I going to be able to get new clients because people know me as the video person? Will they accept me as something else? And so there was, in hindsight, I can see a lot of head trash going on, because when I flipped the switch and made a huge change, no one really cared about it as much as I thought they would in a negative way. They said, well, of course, Whitney, that's what we've seen you doing all along. What took you so long to realize it? Hindsight's always 20/20.
Yeah, I mean, what happens in our brains about what we think people are thinking about us, it's usually complete nonsense. In fact, it's the most amount of nonsense, right? You know, I think the world's all sitting over there going, I can't believe Anthony just took a breath, right? I can't believe he sneezed, right? I mean, like, they're all watching for some reason. And I don't know where the mind comes up with that game. I don't know if it's, you know, some sort of, you know, wanting to belong to our tribe or some sort of prehistoric back belief, or we all came from something that, you know, we feel like we're part of, we always thought together. I don't know where that mentality comes from in the human or in me, but, you know, it's nonsense, right? It's literally that voice that says people are all watching and judging me at any given time.
And they're judging you poorly. And that's a whole lot of head trash. When I'm having those moments now, I tell myself that what other people think about me is really none of my business.
Yeah. it's a tough one, right? Even the best of us, I've done how many podcasts or how many business I've owned. there's still that head trash pops up, and it takes having a ritual and a practice of being able to say that or having multiple places to go to. But it just surprises me that even after all the work on the human part of my being that I do, it still comes up, right? It's still some sort of underlying core thing that, you know, it doesn't go away. It doesn't, at least it hasn't so far for me.
Well, I'll suggest that it matters to you because you care about people.
That's right.
So it comes from a good place, but when it's taken out of proportion, it can certainly shut people down. So I'm glad to hear that you're aware of it, and that when that voice may come up, you say, you know what? If other people think about me at all, they're probably not thinking about me as bad as I am thinking about me. So just quiet down, say nice things to yourself. You know, it sounds a trope perhaps, or a little simplified, but honestly, that's it. We would never allow others to talk about people we love the same way we talk about ourselves sometimes.
I often, you know, I've named the guy in my head Fred, right? That voice.
Fred is a jerk sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. I look, if he was a human, I would punch Fred in the throat.
Right in the throat.
He'd get a, you know, so let's go back. So you're realizing that, hey, I've got these sunken costs. I can do other things. I can make these changes. How does that manifest in your life? So what's the change you make? What's the trigger that makes that change for you?
Starting in 2018, realizing what I realized, the first thing I did was take inventory of what my meekonomics really were. And so I went through an exercise where I wrote about the experiences I want in life, the knowledge I want to gain, and the contributions I want to make. So it's experience, knowledge, contributions. And I made these lists. You can do a forced time exercise, maybe set a timer for 3 minutes and write all the experiences you want to have in life. Just for 3 minutes, do the same thing for knowledge, do the same thing for contributions. And then to give myself a prioritized order, I went down each list and I basically cage fought answer one with answer two. If you can only have one of these experiences, Whitney, which one is more important? Having a cabin by the lake or going to bike the Katy Trail in Missouri? Which one? Pick. Bike the Katy Trail. Okay. Then go answer two against answer three. Cage fight those. Get your priority for that column two and column three, and then look at them across the board. And in a very short period of time, what that did to me was clarify what I was willing to flip a table to make sure that got done. That no matter what else was happening, what were the three absolutely most important meekonomics that would motivate me, keep me on a clear path, and help me understand what I was fighting so hard for at work every day.
So let's take a second here, because I think that this is something that we will listen to a podcast and we brush over these things. This is a practice here. So audience, when you're listening to this, just take a second. I really want you to hear this, because I think this is a valuable practice to find some time, set aside. You know, what do you think the whole practice takes to do this? Is it an hour, 2 hours? What's it take to go through this practice?
Surprisingly fast. I did this in under 30 minutes.
All right. So let's just today on your calendar, really put 30 minutes to practice and put it, I'm going to create my meekonomics, right? A 30 minute block on your time. Find a spot where you can isolate from the world just for 30 minutes and write down experience, knowledge, and contribution, right? And now we're going to do the cage fighting. You know, come up with the ideas that we want to have on each one of those topics and start to do some cage fighting with which one we want to have as our priority. So are we looking for one per, or are we looking for a list of on each one of those categories?
It's your life. The important part is that you come up with the top three. And in fact, Anthony, for your listeners, I will put a resource on my website that they can download for free, provokebetter.com/future for listeners of Future Factory. And I will put this meekonomics exercise and a worksheet on that webpage for your listeners. So you can do it at home, do it very, very easily. But yeah, you definitely want to get to the top three. You could have one from each category. You could have three from a single category. It's your life, make it yours. The point is to understand what those top three were. For me, the answers were have a joyful marriage, be available for my parents as they transitioned in their life. They're now just over 80. I am fortunate to still have both of them with me. They're going through a lot of transition, so I want to be available during their transition. And the third one was to create the business that could run without me.
Nice.
And that's what I've been working on for the last 6 years.
Nice. Nice. So really get to get some, so this becomes the why, or really, you know, what I often talk about is the future that pulls me into it.
Right? That's a great phrase. Yeah.
Right. So now I've got this, you know, on the days, my good days, my bad day, I've now got a future that's now pulling. All right. Does this line up? What am I doing right now? Does this line up with those items? Right.
Exactly. If it doesn't help me live into that future, it might be hurting that future. Reconsider it.
Yeah, that's right. There's so much going on in this now moment. I think having that Mekonomic vision, right? And people ask me all the time, how do I get it? Look, it may also change, right? You may do Mekonomics again later on. And, you know, all the things that I've grown into doing, you know, I'll get there and go, great. I've done, you know, I've built businesses or bought homes or get cars or got things, or I did things with my kids or go around the world, or, you know, different things that I've wanted to achieve in life. And all of them came with, all right, now I'm there. I have a moment of satisfaction, but then the next really is it's time to work on something new, right? So then my judgment is that, you know, the joy of life is really in the achieving of it. Once I get it, I'm not sure that it becomes completely satisfying. I feel like for a moment I get to enjoy it, but you know, it's always been for me, you know, the practice I become in the journey to get there.
Yep. And it's totally natural and normal and healthy to repeat the exercise when certain benchmarks have been met. Do it next year, do it next month, do it 5 years from now. Whenever you feel like you are straying from that central meanness, the Mekonomics, repeat the exercise. And if you come up with different answers, that's totally okay. That means you're growing. That means your life is changing. That means your perspective is different. All of those things are totally natural.
Yeah, it feels great to know that that's true. Right? You go, hey, look, there's nothing wrong with me. My life will change, and the things I want to focus on will continually evolve. And hey, just remember, this life is quick, right? You deserve the things you want, right? You deserve those things, and as we start to point our ships and our activities towards achieving those, right? The day-to-day activities of doing it, you know, you're gonna have ups and downs, but having a vision and a place to go to, oftentimes feels like the most I can do to keep my course myself balanced in a spot where it's like, okay, right, Today wasn't perfect and I didn't get everything I would want towards that goal, but tomorrow I can try again.
Yeah. I don't know anyone who at the end of their life will look back and say, wow, I wish I'd spent more time at the office.
Yeah, for sure.
So the endless hustle is not really where it's at. It's a means to an end. Let's make sure the end that we want is the right end for us, which is, for me, my opinion, sounds like you share it, is the Mekonomic drivers, not purely the economic drivers at the cost of everything else. That's just not a whole life.
I sometimes even judge that busyness. You know, it's easy to see drugs and alcohol, right? Like how they distract us, right? I you know, life is busy, overwhelming. The brain, you know, has a lot of, you know, it wants to work on something. My judgment is our brains naturally want to work on something. And if we don't have a clear vision, it works on being nervous, right? And then drugs and alcohol, you know, you hit that, you know.
That was easy.
You know.
Right.
It calms the brain, right?
Give me a dopamine hit.
Yeah. That kind of, oh my God, yeah. It's great. You know, I just, you know, I'm nervous. I don't quite know, have it all figured out. I hit the dopamine hit. Great. You can see that with drugs and alcohol. But my judgment also is that once we get past that, busyness is just like a drug, right? People use this busyness thing to kind of focus. Oh, I'm doing something. I'm satisfied. But it will leave them just like drugs and alcohol do, empty at the end. Right.
Yes.
If we're just running around doing, and by the way, I'm not saying that I'm perfect at it, because I easily can get in a day where I'm doing things I don't belong doing, right? Like literally as a leader of a company, I will I'll go backwards and do stuff that my people should be doing or people that run the company should be doing. And I there's been times where I've had business coaches who will lock me in an office and go, stop.
And they're smart to do so. That's why you pay them the media bucks. Yeah. But you're right. And we all do that. And so it's just a constant reminder to ourselves to focus on what really matters in our lives, in our businesses in this moment? What's the thing you can say yes to as a hell yes? And if it's not a hell yes, maybe it should be a no. My friend Laura Wallace taught me that. If it's not a hell yes, maybe it should be a no. And so I think about that sometimes as I'm making my choices, as we all have to make throughout the course of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting that hell yes. That's a pretty good feeling right there. You know, something that a full body yes, a full, you know, somebody really has you all in to head there. And so let's talk about, you know, getting now we've got our Mekonomics goals, right? These are things that I would like to really achieve in my lifetime before I go. Now we start to put together a plan to get there. Let's talk a little bit about how do we start getting the one inside of us focused on creating those.
For me, the third goal that I mentioned, remember, is a joyful marriage, being available for my parents, and having a business that could run without me. The third one became the most important thing. The one thing that if I was able to solve it, or even was on the journey towards solving it, would make the other two things easier. If I have a business that can run without me, then I'm more present for my parents. I'm more present for my wife. I'm more present for my community service efforts. You know, the items that were 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 on my list of economics. And so that became the inflection point. That's the word. The inflection point for when I said, okay, you have to stop throwing your own body into the fray every time something goes wrong. You need to optimize your business. You need to really work on your process. You need to really work on things that you document. You need to really work on training your team up so that they can function without you. And so this continuous improvement optimization became the quest for the next few years and finally became the thing that did unlock the other Mekonomics in my life. Last year, for example, I took two major trips. Early in the year, my wife and I went to Fiji for 2 weeks. This was a trip we've talked about our entire relationship, as if some people might say, you know what, Anthony, we should go to Mars someday. Wouldn't that be fun? And you would say, yeah, that would be fun. Like it was never going to happen. Like it was in some fantasy. We went to Fiji for 2 weeks. I didn't check my cell phone. I wasn't on work calls. Everything was taken care of while I was done. Later last year in the fall, my parents, again, they're 80 and 81, said, we'd like to go on a cruise to New England. You'll come with us. And I said, you betcha. So another 10 days, we went on a cruise from Baltimore up the coast of the United States to New England, into Canada, and back again. Didn't have work calls, didn't check my email. You know what? Nothing blew up. Yeah. Nothing bad happened because I'd optimized the processes, I'd equipped my people, I'd informed my clients, and I'd built a business that I no longer felt trapped in.
God, that right there is the real, I mean, there's something really beautiful about that. I mean, it's a lot of us entrepreneurs get caught up in, I've got to, you know, my judgment, it's some of our ego is in there, right? I've got this S on my chest. I'm proven to the world I can do something. And letting go and allowing the business to do that really gets us out of the ego and really starts into the real leadership, right? And really allowing those people around us to step into their leadership, right? To step into their ability to run the company, into their ability, you know, to trust and vision to have people that, you know, it's not me, right? Because the me part of that running a company is very, it's that dopamine hit again, right? It goes back to that piece where I'm ego filling rather than really company growing or, really investing in the system that will deliver long-term success. You know, every company that's built on the entrepreneur is limited by its ability to grow.
Yes.
You know, the entrepreneur becomes the bottleneck.
Yes. Yes. And so that's a great point. And here's a really quick three-step exercise to do to help you figure out if you're the bottleneck and where. This was something that I started to do every single time I took even a three-day weekend. I took a mini break, or I went to a conference, or I was in a training seminar or something that took me out of the office for more than 2 days. Every single time I came back, I asked the following three questions of my team. Question number one, what absolutely came to a halt because I wasn't here? Early on, this was things like, well, if payroll had been due, no one else could have submitted payroll but you. Or if a check needed to be written, no one else here currently has check writing authority or payment authority except you. So what absolutely came to a halt because I was not here usually points to things that relate to access or authority. Fix those. Question number two, are you ready?
Yep, yep.
What worked but was a little wobbly because I wasn't here? This usually uncovers places where people are looking to you for approval. You need to review something before it goes out. You have not fully articulated what success looks like in a project, so people are a little wobbly. This can be things that illuminate where someone else needs to be trained more so that they can follow your success patterns, or they have a checklist for what needs to be looked at before XYZ leaves the door. So the second question, what was wobbly but happened anyway while I was away, usually points to training and documentation of processes.
There's also the one in me and many of the entrepreneurs I talk to that really feel like they've got the magic formula.
Oh, right? Sure.
Like if I'm not at the deal making point, if I'm not at the table when the deal comes here, I'm going to have to be the one that articulates the deal, right? Yep. The customer's buying me and my magic, and I can tell you that's the poison right there. That's my ego talking. Right. It really does become ego.
Fred.
He's got to take his cape off. Dun, 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 dun. Look at me. I lead this company. I have the magic. It is the one inside of me that creates my own importance. And I become the leader of followers. Right. And that's my goal is to become the leader of leaders. Right. And that right there is probably the biggest pivot point so far that one of the things I really believe is one of the biggest pivot points an entrepreneur can see about what they're doing. So I love that part right there. So that's two is what worked and what was wobbly while I was gone.
Right. And number three is probably the one that surprises the most people when I share it with them. The third question you ask when you come back from being out of the office for a period of time is what actually went better because I wasn't here messing it up. Your team needs to be given permission to tell you when you're getting in the way and you don't even realize it. Your team needs to be able to tell you, we got this. You can step back, be available for critical relationships, for critical parts in certain processes, but as an exception to the rule, not as the default to the rule. So the third question allows them to very candidly reflect back to you places where you unintentionally, however well-meaning you and Fred may be, are getting in the way of your own business.
Come on, that's the hardest one to swallow, I mean, at least for me, right? One of the biggest growth steps is that piece right there. And just about every business coach I ever hired to come in and do training for us will end up in that conversation at some point, Anthony. You're stepping on their air hose. You know, your desire, you think what you think you're doing, you're not, right? Where you think that you're supporting them, you're not. You're stepping on their air hose, allowing that messiness to go there. You know, the first coach who did that with me was this beautiful woman, Lola Wright. She comes walking to my office and she just locks my door. And if you know Lola, she's like 6'3". She's got these big red lips. She's just this powerhouse of a person. And she comes right in and she's like, today we're going to lock your door. And I'm like, oh, great, great. I'll get the focus. People walk in. No. She goes, no. We're locking you in. I go, what? No. You're getting locked in. You keep walking out there. You hire these amazing people. And then you walk out there and you step on all their air hoses. You're in their way. You get 7 1-hour meetings a week. That's all you get to talk to them. You get 1 hour with each of these 7 people, and that's it. You decide when you want to do that, when it works in their schedule, and you get that 1 hour. That's it. You figure out what you're going to talk about. And I'm like, no, what? So my first thought was, I'm going to make these lists. I'm going to have like, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? And what I realized today, I still do those meetings.
Sure.
It's never about the list. It's always about them. So, but how are they doing? How are their family doing? How do I spend time? Because we've hired great people.
Yeah.
Right. We've hired these amazing people who run this company amazing. And when I realized that I've hired amazing people to run it, at first it was such, I had to literally sit behind my door and bite my tongue. Mm-hmm. And Fred kept, you're going to mess this up. Don't go out there. You better go out there right now. Don't, you see, so I'd get a report. You see, something would happen or somebody would get a change or something would be big. You see, you got to go out there right now. Go out there and I'm like, stop, Fred. I mean, like it sounds like that behind the door in my head. Right. And that's like, it's funny to watch, but I judge a lot of us entrepreneurs go through the same practice, right? You've got these great people. I mean, maybe at first, when you're first starting a business, you're hiring, you know, a heartbeat because you think you can't afford somebody. But as you grow the business and you get more and more successful, and many of us get to mid-level companies and you start to get to, you know, a decent team of people, you know, you are starting to develop and develop past yourself. That's where that practice has got to kick in and allow them to do their magic.
You're absolutely right. If you're smart enough to hire the right people, be smart enough to stay out of their way when they're doing the right things.
Yeah, that's how to say that any louder. If you guys are listening to this, that may be the biggest gift of this podcast. It's just hearing that practice right there. It's just knowing that. So let's go. So go back. We're gonna go back. So first, what came to a halt when I was gone? Right. Yep. So what, number one, entrepreneurs, go take a vacation.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Implied in this conversation is you need to actually leave the office for a period of time occasionally and not check on work. How about that? Yeah. What a novel idea.
My first one was I did a 35 days out of the office.
Nice.
It took me a year to prepare for that. It was all about Fred, right? Most of it was about Fred, right. But it took me a year to prepare to go. I'm gonna go around the world and do 35 days out of the office. And
wonderful,
you know, just leave people to do their thing. And I think I called once in 35 days from a bus in India, and they're like, "Why are you calling?" did someone cut a foot off or something? Do you need us to come rescue you?
What country are you in, and how much is the bail?
Yeah, right. That's exactly what it was. They were like, "Oh, he's on the phone." I'm like, "I'm on a bus in India," and they're doing this thing, and they're like, "No, it was great." And they're like, "Yeah, go back to having a vacation. This place is running really well."
Love it.
And it was a wonderful experience, right? I think that's what you're saying. Really. What you're really saying is make sure that you get to find that in your people.
You do. You want to give them certain responsibilities and a corresponding level of authority. And that second part is often where we fail them. We give them the responsibility, you will do X, Y, and Z, but then bring it to me to check before it goes out the door. That's not a corresponding level of authority to go with it. Now, do you hand that over on day one? Of course not. That's irresponsible. And that's not great for the company, the clients, or the career development of that person. But have the plan that elevates them to know this is my responsibility. This is my corresponding level of authority. And only when these exceptions happen do I need to escalate it to my supervisor, to the boss, to Anthony, et cetera. Never escalate it to Fred. He's a jerk. We already agree on that.
Yeah. I mean, so then you create this practice. So what came to a halt? What was wobbly? And then what was better when I was gone? Right. Now you create this practice.
Yes.
And now we're going to continue to live in that practice, right? Just to continue to live in the practice. My judgment is if I don't fill my time with creating vision and creating other things for the company to focus on, right? I'll go back to my old ways of being.
Exactly.
Right. So I really have to create practices for me that become something sustainable. So what might some of those items be so that I can now, you know, create, so I'm not stepping on the air hose, and I can really create what, you know, a great entrepreneur, you know, create vision and focus and really a vision that pulls the company, continues to pull the company further forward.
You definitely need to do that lean forward, and that is your responsibility. When you think about the entrepreneur's responsibility and the corresponding level of authority that goes with it, it is exactly those five things. It's exactly the things you talked about. Leaning forward into a vision, setting the vision and articulating that vision in such a rich, compelling, vivid way that your followers, everyone else in your company wants to go with you, if just out of morbid curiosity. Let's see where Anthony's going to take us today, because wherever it is, it's going to be awesome. Do that. Be available for the key relationships, not just the business relationships, but your meconomic relationships that are important to you. I would throw that in there. Being able to take a look at the finances and make sure that the cash flow in your business is healthy. Because without cash flow, it's like an airplane without gas. You're not going to go very far. You're going to crash and burn pretty quickly if the finances aren't in order. And so that's really the duty of the entrepreneur, and to equip and empower their people to grow and become better at their own place in your business. You know, staying out of their way was really, really important. And that's a habit, a set of muscle memory that both you and your team has to develop and build over time.
You know, my judgment is that when the way you do this in your business, right, the way you, you know, create that vision for your business, the same thing happens in your personal and your family life. Right. As I start to really create a family vision, right, as I start to look at, all right, what do I want my family to look like? Right. What do I want my spouse? What do I want my children? What do I want my family to look like? What do I want them, you know, my parents? What do I want all of my relationships to look like? You know, and how can I create that in a way that it's not just me driving it, that we drive it? Right. I mean, my judgment is that when we create a family environment where we do this together, you know, I used to feel like Papa Smurf, and every morning I would get up and I would have this vision of me with the flute, and everybody would go, da, 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 da. I would, and all the kids would get up in the morning and we'd go clean the house and we'd go do things. And then kid number one would get up and it'd be grumpy. And I'd be like, Dad, I'm not cleaning the house. And then I'd start arguing with, no, but listen, if you get the house clean, then we go do adventure. No, Dad, I'm just, you know. And then kid number two, no, I got to go. I'm leaving. I'm going to go to Bobby's house. And kid number three, you know, and all of a sudden my vision of me and the flute were gone. And then resentment would kick in and I'd be all mad at everybody. And it became it was my vision, but it wasn't their vision. Right? we weren't in alignment with what we were doing.
Right. It really has so many applications throughout everyday life. You're modeling as a leader of your family, as a leader of your organization. You're modeling what you hope other people will adopt. I mean, when I was in the olden days, just throwing my body into any problem that came up, I was stepping on their air hose and I wasn't modeling good, healthy, sustainable career behavior for them. When I throw myself into something at work, I'm not modeling for the younger people around me what they may look for. So instead, now I model, take vacation, have healthy savings, make sure that you are getting a decent salary. You know, I used to way underpay myself as an entrepreneur because I had bought into the idea that I need to roll everything back into my own business. Well, that just depleted my own personal savings. That wasn't healthy or sustainable. Had to change all that. So not only last year did I take those two big vacations that I mentioned, but overall I had 6 weeks of vacation during the course of the year. I have a comfortable six-figure take-home pay, not just what the company makes, but this is what comes into Whitney. And I have 6 months of business operating expenses tucked away in an interest-bearing account for a rainy day in case, I don't know, there's a global pandemic or something that kind of throws the world upside down, you know. So my model has changed dramatically. And as a result of that, my life has changed dramatically too.
I think that's wonderful, right? As we really start to create those practices and you start to see that modeling, you know, it's, you know, don't beat ourselves up. Look, entrepreneurs, you're literally going, there's no way I can do that. There's no, look, I've been there. I know that voice. And by the way, and there's times when I'm in practice and then out of practice. It's just like going to the gym, right? You know, there's times when I'll do 90 workouts in 90 days, feel like I'm healthier than a horse. And then there's times where I'll miss the gym for 2 months. And, you know, my judgment of a human is it's never quite perfect, right? Sure. We're not practicing perfection. We're practicing, we're practicing growth. We're practicing step-by-step, continuous growth. And sometimes I get knocked off the beam, right? As a leader or as a family member or as a growth model, I'll knock myself off the beam. Don't beat yourself up. Now it's just get one step back to the beam, right? Get back into one practice that gets you back to being healthy, right? Get you one step back to, you know, stop eating bonbons. You know, just get one step back to the esteemable acts that really feel great about when we grow, right? My judgment is when I'm growing, even my hard days are pretty damn good, right? I mean, they're,
yes.
My head hits the pillow and I'm like, that was fulfilling, right? I invested in people. I invested in things that are really important and valuable to me. And then maybe they're not all perfect, but I can see that it was worth the effort.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a reason I did not name my company Provoke Perfect. It's Provoke Better. And that's just what we can do every single day. Is today better than yesterday? Is this moment and this decision and this choice we're making better than the last one we made? It's more informed. It's more compassionate. It's more expansive. Make it better.
So if people want to get a hold of you, they want to hire you, they want to bring you into their business and help grow them, what's the best way for them to catch up with you?
Well, again, I'm going to put some special resources on our website just for listeners of Future Factory. Find that at provokebetter.com/future. I'll put the exercise that we talked about for getting to the core of your own Meekonomics on there, along with information about how you can work with me if that's something you'd like to do so that you can grow your business while outgrowing your busyness.
I really want you to get that in all of the development I have done. You know, just like getting a someone at the gym to work out with, having a workout coach has been really helpful in go to the gym, right? Having someone that's there that, you know, I can go to the gym, but sometimes I get caught up in just bad traps. And having someone there who kind of pushes me and coaches me has been really great in that respect. The same thing happens in my food, the way I eat life. But more important, what he was talking about before, in the place where I really generate revenue for all of those things in my business life, having a coach like Whitney come to work with you is probably the best practices I have ever had. And my judgment is that all the success I have today is based on the past. You know, I've brought in different coaches throughout my career, right? Each one of them is like a musician. They bring in different skills for me, and they look at different parts of our business. And I'm always dusting off new parts, new corners of our business that are opportunities to continue to have us shine brighter. And Whitney, you know, by the way, I'll make sure that all of those links are in the bio down below. Please make sure that you go click on that and go check out and do these assessments and that link. And look, if you want to grow your business, challenge yourself to get a coach like Whitney to come in and really grow you and watch what happens. I mean, you'll be surprised where you're stepping on your own air hose. And it's not like you're broken, real broke. It's just little small little changes that will make huge impact to what you get to do in the future. So Whitney, it's a joy. It's a pleasure. You bring real wisdom and clarity to this conversation for the entrepreneur. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Anthony. It's great to listen from your other podcasts, and I appreciate the discipline that you bring to your business and your life.
As always, folks, if you could take a second, you know, last week you did assessment. There were 67% of you made it to the end of the show and didn't subscribe. And it just blew me away. All the people in the background are 67% of the people that made it to the end of the show weren't subscribers. And if you could just take 2 seconds right now and like and subscribe for us. It just takes a couple seconds to do it. And all the team in the background that puts this together, they work tirelessly to really get this out there to folks and get great guests like Whitney on. If you could take a second right now and just like and subscribe for us, I would be grateful. And I know the team would be too. So as always, thanks for listening.